All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you have come down in this hour with a shout, with a message, Lord, to gather together your elect. And Father, we know that your bride will come to the place where she has, thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. And we know that thus saith the Lord is not thus saith us, but it is thus saith what you have already spoken. And so, Lord, we hang on to thy word, and believing even as your prophet William Branham told us that if he spoke anything that was not from this word, it would make him Antichrist. And therefore, Father, if we speak things which are not from your word, it makes us Antichrist as well. So, Father, we know that even Peter, when he spoke contrary to the words of your son Jesus, your own son said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know what spirit is on you." So, Lord, we ask you to help us to stay exactly with what was spoken by your prophet and by the scripture. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I'd like to speak from, again, the spoken word is original seed, paragraph 88 and 89, where Brother Branham spoke to us concerning the new birth. And he told us that the word must first come into our mind, then God quickens it by his spirit, and then it becomes a dynamic revelation which brings forth new birth. Again, let me just read what he says. And the only way that we can ever be born again is first in the womb of the mind, receive the word, and then the spirit comes on top of that and brings it. There you are. That's what does it. That's the real gospel teaching, brother. I believe if St. Paul was standing today, he'd teach the same thing. Amen. In this hour. All right. What was the result of with her physical and spiritual death? What is the result of those who accept the other word? It goes into this frolic today that they got, both physical and spiritual death, both body and spirit shall be annihilated, be no more. That's exactly right. And then he says in paragraph 89, now note Mary's womb, the physical mind, see, was virgin womb. Why? She believed God's word, no matter how much anybody criticized, how many things somebody else said, that didn't have one thing to do with it. She believed God's word regardless. So what he's giving us an illustration here is when the serpent came along to Eve and gave her other word than what God had given, she said, well, you know, could be. And then when Mary came along and God said, you're going to have a baby. And she said, be it done unto me according to thy word. Now, when she went out and started to tell people, that people thought, hey, this girl must have been, you know, shacked up with some guy. That's why they called Jesus an illegitimate. You see? But she said, no, I didn't touch any man. No man touched me. You know? And people thought she was crazy. But she went around. Brother Brown lets us know here. She went around telling people. Otherwise, why did she go to Anna? John's mother. You see, so she did. She was excited about the promise that she had for this hour. And my question is for you. Are you excited about the promise for this hour? Then how can you keep still about it? How can you bury your head in the sand and not talk about it? We're getting out of here before this thing collapses. My brother just sent me an email last night. And it was on how France, some of the top advisors in France, the economic advisors, say, we don't know if France has a month left before it folds. They've got so much debt. For 36 years, they have not balanced their budget. So what does that mean? Well, one day, what you owe is going to be called for. And you have to pay up. My question is, who do they owe it to? Who do they owe it to? You're going to find that the Jews own the paper, and Rome owns the gold. And the paper is becoming worthless because, you know, these guys, and let me just say it this way, The central banks around the world, basically owned by the same 12 banks that own the Fed, they have created paper to keep things going, keeping these countries more and more and more and more in debt. But now, because they created the paper and kept creating paper to keep them going, the paper has become worthless. Now, Rome, on the other hand, she's been gobbling up all the gold she can for centuries. She did it through the Spanish armadas coming over here to the New World and plundering all the tribes of their gold and the Aztecs, the Incas, and all these things and taking it back. She did it through the Inquisition, confiscating people's homes because they were quote-unquote heretics. And so she has the gold of the world. Now, what's left out there, I don't know what percent of the gold is left out that she doesn't have. But you know, they're talking about gold going to 5,000. Some say as high as 10 or 15,000. But one guy, he's a professor of economics in Switzerland, he said it could go to 100,000. You see, why could it go to 100,000? Because if Rome owns it all, and all these systems, all these people around the world are dependent upon their government social securities. I don't know what they call them in other countries, but basically their social security systems. And they've been paying into it for years, and now it's all gone. And the next thing in this country is going to be your IRAs and your 401ks. They're going to be taken. That's coming out of Congress. So it's not my words about it. They're looking into it. So if that happens, see, then everybody's going to own their income. To who? Well, whoever has the gold to be able to back up the paper. So it's coming down, and the whole thing's crumbling. And it can't be too long before it just goes, before things turn. And before that happens, we're going to be gone. So if Mary could say, "Be it done unto me according to thy word," and God has a bride in this hour, he has an elect that will be transformed, to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son and transformed, change of the body, then I say, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." Amen. You see, I don't believe that Brother Brown taught us anything outside the scriptures. And to believe he did, you'd make him a false prophet. Or you in your mind are making him a false prophet. He wasn't a false prophet. When somebody said, "Brother Brown, that could be the I don't remember what chapter is the 1718. That could be the 23rd chapter of the book of Revelations." He said, "No, that would make me Antichrist." You see? So everything he said has to come from this word. Now, before the actual spiritual birth can take place, the word has to find itself through your mind. Believe it. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall never come to the judgment or never come through the tribulation period, but has passed from death unto life." That's it. You hold on to that. You keep, as things get worse and worse and worse, you keep quoting Jesus. He said, "We'll never come to tribulation. He that believeth me, he that hath my word, he that heareth my word and believeth on him," that's God, "believeth on him," God, "that sent me, hath eternal life and shall never come through the tribulation period, but is passed from death unto life." Now in 1 Peter 1:23, he says, "We're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever." Now to examine this being born again, if we could open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and reading from verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees whose name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now this guy Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because I'm sure he was afraid of the peer pressure that would hit him if he was seen openly talking to Jesus. So we see Nicodemus, by his own words, acknowledge the vindication of God's presence in the ministry of Jesus. Yet because he was not himself born again, he did not understand what Jesus was teaching. Yet on the other hand, he knew that this man had to be from God, but his teaching was so unorthodox that he could not understand what Jesus was saying. He said, "We know that no man can do what you're doing unless God is doing it and standing behind your words. But what in the world are you talking about? I haven't got a clue." And yet he was a great doctor of theology himself. Well, in verse 3, we hear Jesus reply to this man who understands vindication, but does not understand the doctrine of Christ. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Now, this word verily that Jesus uses twice to bring home his point, it means of a truth, I say unto thee. In other words, with full assurance and full certainty, I'm telling you this. I'm not guessing. Words of a vindicated prophet aren't guesses. We can guess. And that's okay as long as our guess lines up with what a prophet says. But we have no right to say unless a prophet said it. All right. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot see what? He says he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus tells us plainly that those who are born again can see or know or understand the kingdom of God. And the word see was translated from the Greek word eido, which is by implication means to know or to be aware, to be able to consider, to have knowledge of, to be able to perceive, or able to understand. Therefore, Jesus, according to the Greek definition of the word see, is telling Nicodemus that unless a man is born again, he cannot know, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. In other words, it's a mystery to him. It just goes over his head. Now let's continue. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answering, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, you've got to be born twice. Once physical and the next spiritual. Now the word enter means to come into and become a participant of. In other words, if you cannot even enter, then there is no way that you can be a part of. You're left out in the cold and clueless like the foolish virgin trying to put the pieces together without coming to the complete definitive understanding of what was going on. The foolish virgin heard the same midnight cry that the wise virgin heard, which we know by a vindicated prophet, that midnight cry was a message for this hour. The shout of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 to 18. And they had Bibles, they had lamps with them, but they had no light upon that word. Their lamps were not lit. In Matthew 25, verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. So all 10 of them had lamps. They all had the Bible. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, so they had their Bibles, but they had no oil with them. And we all know that oil represents the Holy Spirit always, according to 7 Church Ages, paragraph 68. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So the vessel is something separate from the lamp. Is that right? Well, in Psalm 119, we read, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. So the lamp represents the Bible, represents the word. But in their vessel, that's something different. Because he says, they took no oil within their vessels with their lamp, showing the vessel and the lamp are two different things. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 4 that every one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So they had no Holy Spirit. They had no oil in their vessel. You see, they had the Bible. The denominations, even the Catholics now have the Bible. They all have their own versions, but they have a Bible, right? But they had no Holy Spirit here. You see? And so what they saw here with their eyes, just a bunch of words. Traditions to the Catholics. Words that cannot be understood to the Protestants. And yet it's the voice of God to us. Now back in the parables, in this parable, verse 6, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, that's the end of the day, which represents time for the day has run out. So this is when the time shall be no more. Right? Revelation 10, verse 7. There was a cry that was made. And what was that shout, that cry? Behold. What does the word behold mean? It means look, see, perceive, understand. So we're told that this shout was to get the attention of the wise virgin who had the oil while the foolish virgin did not have the Holy Spirit. And so she could not understand what was happening. They heard the shout, but because of no anointing oil in their vessel, they had no way of understanding the message given to them. Behold, the bridegroom is here. Come out to meet him. Now, I realize that the King James says, go out to meet him. But that's the wrong translation. Because in Revelation chapter 3, he's on the outside knocking, trying to get in. So the shout comes from the one on the outside. It says, come out to meet him. In the NAV version, it says, at midnight the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And in the translation called The Message, it reads, in the middle of the night, someone yelled out, he's here, the bridegroom's here. Isn't that the presence we're talking about? Therefore, the message is not go out to meet him, but come out to meet him, because the voice came out from the outside of the church. Verse 7, then all the virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. So they all heard the midnight cry, these virgins, wise and foolish. So the foolish virgin have got to have heard the shout, the message. Now what do you do when you trim your lamps? You must look it over completely to see where it's not allowing light to shine through. And then you clean it. And to do that, you must get rid of all the smoke-stained wick. You must cut off that so it'll burn brighter. Then you clean the glass so it will shine more brightly. And we're talking about the Word of God. The soot is your own thoughts that smudge up the light that can come from the Scripture. Because if your mind's already made up, then what you read there confirms what's in here, even though you're not saying what was here. Like the Trinitarians, they believe there's three gods who make up like a committee. There's three persons that make up one God. How in the world can you have three persons being one God? Is God a committee? Huh? Well, the Baptists seem to think so. Of course, they have committees for everything. Catholics have committees. They get their committee of cardinals, committee of bishops, committee of this and that. God's not a committee. God is one. There's one God. And he was the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And so the foolish said unto the wise, now notice they're called foolish because they think like fools. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I acted like a child because I was a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish thinking. Therefore childish speaking, therefore childish actions. So if you're a fool, it's because you think like a fool. Then you speak like a fool, you act like a fool. They had been so busy with their programs that they failed to keep their lamps trimmed and lit. So they said to the wise virgin, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. So we had the word at one time, and we had the word with an understanding at one time. But we got so busy, we didn't realize that light had gone out. And we're not filled with the Spirit. We've let it go. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Lest there not be enough for us and for you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now what is the door? Didn't Jesus say, I am the door? Is that what he said? I am the door to the sheepfold? And isn't Jesus the Word? Then the Word was shut. They could no longer see what was in there. And the Bible predicted it would be that way, way back in the book of Isaiah, some 700 years before Jesus spoke these words. Some 700 years before that, and knowing that the Alpha must become Omega, as they were blind then, when the bridegroom was on the scene, present with them, they are blind today as well in his presence. Isaiah 29, verse written 700 years before Jesus came on the scene, 2700 years before this day, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes, the prophets. Rather should be, has closed your eyes to the prophets. And your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. You see, there are still so-called learned ministers, right, among us in this message, who believe the seals are still closed. And the book he delivered to him that is learned, saying, read this, or unlearned, not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. But he saith, I can't. I don't know what's in there. I'm not learned. At least this person is more honest than the one that was so called learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and their eyes and their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Now what's the word heart? Every time you see the word heart in the scripture, it refers to an understanding, your understanding. They've removed their understanding far from me. They still talk about God. They still give lip service, like the movies did in the 40s and 50s and 60s, lip service. But by then, Brother Branham had already said this nation rejected Christ. You see? Lip service. But their fear of me is taught by the precepts of men. And so they use fear to control the people. In Matthew 25, verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins, the foolish virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Now notice, then what did they hear from the midnight cry? The midnight cry said, He is here, come out to meet him. They began to trim their lamps, but they could not find any light coming from their lamp or from the word of God which they had, because there was no oil in their vessel. So they heard the shout. They heard that he's here, and some now even preach that he's here, but they don't know who came down because they don't understand his Godheadedness, Godhoodedness. Therefore, the benefits of being born again and filled with the Spirit are as follows. Number one, unless you're born again, you cannot understand the things of God. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, he said, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, Paul says, But as it is written, Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Therefore, if you do not have his Spirit in you, how are you going to have those things revealed to you? For the Spirit, not a Spirit, but the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the very purpose of our receiving God's Spirit is so that we can receive his mind, so we can understand his very thoughts, thus his word. Which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, it takes the Spirit of God in you to discern what's going on. And discern means to recognize and comprehend. And to be spiritually discerned means it takes a spirit to discern them. Now notice, He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him, or that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now concerning this, Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, and to every age we hear the same truth, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, but only a spirit-filled man can hear the revelation for that age. None other can. No, sir, they cannot, because that is exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 to 16. And from the Church Age book, if the Spirit wasn't inside, you wouldn't hear the truth and receive it by revelation if you heard it every moment of the day. That was a sign of the indwelling Spirit in the days of Paul. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the Word, received it, and lived by it. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal men, put a wrong interpretation on it, and went into sin. From Church Age book, paragraph 140, page 144, he said, Then we know that the Spirit has to be abiding in the person, or he cannot receive the truth for that time. Amen. That is exactly correct. And Church Age Book 164, the Word always comes to the truly Spirit-filled. That is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, then the question comes up. Well, does that mean that I had to have the Holy Ghost before I heard the Word? No, that's not what he's saying. Remember, Brother Branham said it all comes, you know, mental faith comes first. Then when the Holy Spirit anoints that, it drops into your soul, making it dynamic revelation. You had to be gene seed for that word to quicken that seed, and thus the Spirit of God to come in. Then when it did, the light bulbs went on. You understand what I'm saying? Then you understood the things of God. And as God spoke through his prophet, spoke through his teachers, as you begin to hear the word of God, it makes sense to you. It doesn't make sense to the others. it makes sense to you. Why? Because you have the same spirit. You think the same way God thinks. Because you have a spirit in you. From the Church Age, book 165, says, in every church age we hear the same thing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit gives the word. If you have the Spirit, you will hear the word for your age, as those true Christians took the word for their age. From Key to the Door, Brother Branham said, no man can understand the word outside of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when a man says he's got the Holy baptism of the Holy Ghost and disputes the word being right, there's something wrong. From Identified Masterpieces of God, he said, how can a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit wrote the word, and a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and deny the word? How can the Holy Spirit in you deny its own word that was set forth for you? I can't understand it. It's got to agree with the word. And if your spirit in you won't punctuate every word, every one of God's promises with amen, there's something wrong. Again, from discerning the body of the Lord, he said, Jesus said once that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or understand it. And in other words, you can't discern the kingdom of God until you're born again. Again, from calling of Abraham, he said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, what the right translation that is, cannot understand the kingdom of God. Somebody be doing something and showing you, I just can't see it, you say. You're looking at it, but you don't understand it. And you'll never know what the kingdom of God is until you're born again. Then you'll understand what it is. Therefore, you can just sit in church and it's just a bunch of blah, 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 blah. And you have no clue as to what's being said. Because you don't have the same spirit. You see? From Mary's belief, except a man be born again, he cannot ever see the kingdom of God. Now, see means to understand. There's a lot of people that say that they're born again and can't understand the message of God. Can't see the angel of the Lord. Their eyes are blinded, brother. Except a man be born of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that wrote the word will confirm the word in the same confirmation of the Holy Ghost in you. You see what I mean? It will bear record of itself. Then our spirit bears record with his spirit, because his spirit bears record with his word. The word of God is sharper, more powerful, Hebrews 4, than any two-edged sword, even piercing to the asunder and of the marrow and bone, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thus saith the Lord, the Lord's word. Just exactly, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, appearing in his elected church. Again, he said, from it shall even be as it was told to me. He said, anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See? And from questions and answers from Conduct Corner Doctrine, he said, now Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything, looked right at it, and say, well, I don't see it, see? I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it, see? You don't understand it. To see is to understand. But with your eyes, you're looking at something. But what's inside of you, you understand with that. You see with that. And with the eyes of God, that's how you look. From questions and answers, also Conduct Doctrine, he said, what is the evidence that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? John 14, 26. When the Holy Ghost has come, see, he will show you things to come. See, he'll perfect it. Man-made won't do it, and he is the Word. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will identify himself in you with the Scripture, and that is a true sign that the Holy Spirit is in you, because it is the Word. And from hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word, he said, first, faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. Then the believer hears it, recognizes it, and acts upon it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never. Hear means to understand, look at, is looking at something, but to see it is to understand. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. And from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, look, Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See, what God's trying to do. What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Brown, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible. He is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. And from blasphemous names, he said, and the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings us to mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the word. No matter what anyone else says, it only recognized the Word. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word's still God, and the Word is made flesh and dwelt among us. And when the Word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. And upon this foundation I'll build my church. See, not upon a mental conception of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. When them streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. See, that shows they would be against it, but it'll never prevail. Oh, what a glorious thing. And from blasphemy, it seems, he said, number one, coming to your mental faith right here, comes the Holy Spirit, coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith, then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Now, and number two, then you'll have the Holy Spirit, and will seal all those things into you as the Holy Spirit covers this. From your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ, then you become one. Amen. And from hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word, he says, when they were born again, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a new birth. We know that. You're begotten of the Spirit. I'll admit that. But until you're born again. And from the token, he says, when God has given you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the life of Jesus Christ is within you. Now, that's true. Every theologian will have to admit that to be the truth. It's a new birth. You're born anew of the Holy Ghost. Earnestly contending for the faith, he said, why, brother, it's by faith that you're saved. Is that right? But listen, in accepting of your faith, God confirms your faith by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you say you believe and don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you do not. Your faith isn't accepted in the sight of God. You've got a mental faith, and instead of a heart faith, that's right. When you truly believe God, God's under obligation to pour the Holy Ghost on you. And then if he does pour the Holy Ghost on you, you say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost too. Well, if you do, you're bound to believe in the supernatural signs and wonders, because you're added to it. That's the faith. So basically what he's saying is, look, if you've got the Spirit of God in you, then the things that God says and does, your body says, your mind says amen to it. You see? From witnesses, he says, you believe God and you say you believe God and haven't received the Holy Ghost, there's something wrong with your faith. Because God's under obligation to give every person that represents it and is baptized is under obligation to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he's more willing to give it to you than you are to receive it. That's right. So therefore, there's something wrong somewhere. You just got a mental faith and instead of the faith of God. Or heart of faith. For God's under obligation to keep his word. And he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, to them that's far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. That's right. That's true. And God's got to keep his promises. So if he said, repent and be baptized, the problem is people don't repent. You know, the word repent means to change your thinking. Admit you're wrong. Admit God's right. Then, he says, come and be baptized in his name. And then he'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. And from spiritual inspiration, he said, and if you don't understand what I mean by being born again, I mean someone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's the new birth. Would you raise your hand? Now I believe I want to receive the Holy Ghost. So Brother Branham is saying the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are one and the same thing. All right, now the second benefit to receiving the Holy Spirit, the first one I hope we understand because I gave you four pages of quotes, but is Brother Branham saying that you without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you just can't understand the Word. Okay, it's mental. But when you do understand it, not only do you understand it, but you're a part of it. Yeah. You're a part of it. You can see yourself in it. Number two. The second benefit of having the new birth is you will do what is right and what is righteousness. The scripture says, 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So what is righteousness? It's right wiseness. And you're righteous if you do that which is right. Everyone who does what is born of him, he says, so you're doing what is right. And if you do what is right, you will receive the Son of God and receive him in the same way that you would receive the one who sent him. In John 1 and verse 11 says, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, these are the ones that he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So in other words, those that are able to receive him and what he's doing are sons of God. And God releases in them, he gives them an ability to become what they are, their sons. And he gives you the ability to become what you are. Number three, you will no longer initiate sin. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you won't fall periodically. It doesn't mean that, you know, that, but it means this. Whosoever is born of God, 1 John 3:9, doth not commit sin. That word means initiate sin. For God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot disbelieve. He cannot sin, because he is born of God. And we might backslide 1,000 times daily, but we don't plot to do so. You see? David didn't go out looking to commit adultery, but when his eyes fell upon a naked woman that was so beautiful, he lusted. And when lust conceives, it brings forth death, and that child from that relationship died. Because it was an adulterous relationship. The little girl that ran into the church, or she ran into the, she heard the music playing. She stopped to listen. She went in, found herself in the arms of her old dance mate. She got filled with a demon. Why? She heard it. You see, those senses working. It brought memories. What did the memories do? It brought her into the back into that atmosphere. Once in that atmosphere, the devil was able to anoint her. You see, doesn't mean that you can't fall or backslide. It just means that you won't disbelieve. And she didn't disbelieve, and she ran to William Branham, and he cast that demon out of her. And when he did, that big old hairy thing that looked like a size of a bat come out of her. And, of course, in 1 John 5, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, disbelieveth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, you know, every once in a while you come across a person who says, well, I believe the message, I believe what Brother Branham says, but I just can't live it. I just can't live it. Then you have to ask yourself, why can't you live it? Because you're feeding the other. Remember the Indian chief, they said, he said, Brother Branham, he said, since I've been born again, he said, there's two dogs warring within me, a black dog and a white dog. He said, well, who's winning, chief? He said, the one I feed the most. The one I feed the most. It's just that simple. What are you feeding on? In the book of James, we read James 1 and verse 15. Then when lust conceiveth, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it conceives, bringeth forth death. Now, number four, the fourth benefit to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the new birth, it gives you power to overcome the world. 1 John 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we know that whosoever is born of God disbelieves not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Or more accurately, watches over himself. He makes a constant inventory of his unbelief so that he can deal with it. Do we do that? You know, the Bible says that we should not let the sun go down upon our wrath. What about the sun going down upon our iniquities? In other words, do we take, when we kneel before the bed at night, do we ask the Lord, do we go through our life and ask the Lord to forgive us where we've slipped off the mark and ask us to help start the next day fresh and anew? The NIV says, we know that anyone who is born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. Again, from the Amplified Version, says, we know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin, but the one who is begotten of God carefully watches over him and protects him. Christ's divine presence with him preserves him against the evil, and the wicked one does not lay hold or get a grip on him or even touch him. And from the Message Translation, we know that none of the God-begotten ones makes a practice of sin, a fatal sin. The God-begotten ones are also the God-protected ones. The evil one can't lay a hand on them. We know that we are held firm by God. It's only the people of the world who continue in the grip of the evil one. So we find, going back to the book of Peter, which we read as our text, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abides forever. So we see there's two types of born again, one of corruptible, one of incorruptible. And those who are born after the flesh, they must persecute those born after the Spirit. That is the law of life, for every seed must come forth after its own nature. And so number five, the fifth benefit is you will control how you act toward others, and you will never persecute those who are born again. Now that's something that everyone in this message ought to take heart to. Galatians 4:9 says, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So you will learn how not only to love, not only how to possess your own vessel, but you'll learn how to control your actions and your tongue toward others. Number six, if the new birth gives you power to control your own actions, it will also allow you to love in the same way that God loves. Now here's the thing that I ask the Lord to do, and it works. If you have trouble loving a certain person, ask the Lord to channel His love for that person through you. And you're going to find something happen within you. In 1 John 4, verse 7, we read, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You see, how can you really love someone with God's love if you don't know God? And you haven't got God's Spirit to know God. So only those who truly have been born of God can love in the same way God loves. And remember, He loved us even before we loved Him. Number seven, the new birth gets you ready to become Christ-like, to become conformed to the very image of the firstborn Son. In closing, we read from Galatians 4 and verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. In other words, you identify with God Himself. In 1 John 3 and 2, beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. So seeing God as He truly is helps you to understand who you truly are. You'll never really understand who you truly are until you know who God truly is. And Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the benefits that You've given us of being born again. And we pray, Father, that You would anoint those benefits in our life, and may they truly be apparent, and may they manifest in our flesh, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing that song in closing. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.